Well, in the weeks following Easter, we have been heading out into the world, just like Jesus did on Easter morning. In our hearts, we continue to hold the truth that new beginnings are not always easy. Right? That's true. And today we follow some of the disciples on their first journey into the world after things had changed. But as we'll find, not everyone knew yet. In fact, in order to fully appreciate today's journey through our scriptures into the new world, I need to remind you of the devastation amidst we begin. This story takes place on Easter, but not at the tomb. This is Jesus showing up for the very first time to these particular disciples. They hadn't heard the news yet. Okay, so I'm going to need you to rewind a little bit in your brain, because we already know that whole he's risen indeed thing. They don't. So here we have these faithful friends of Jesus. They're picking up the pieces in their life after the darkest day they've ever known, right? They had visions of what could be, and those things would not be. They've been shattered. Everything they expected had been left unfulfilled. The worst of what they thought would be vanquished and said seemed to triumph over what they held dear, right? Hope is gone. This is only 3 days after the crucifixion, and the disciples are walking to a town called Emmaus. Now, if any of you ever come in the door on the east side of come in the main door, but then take the east side stairwell, you'll actually see this picture every single week. It's been hanging there since 1957, in fact. Pardon the Nordic version of Jesus in this particular painting. But here we have this guy and some friends, and they're walking. So I just want you to know, the art we have hanging around the building comes from these beautiful places and these beautiful stories. So the disciples are on their way, walking toward Emmaus. And again, I want us to set ourselves into the despair and devastation, the grief and loss that permeate everything in this moment as we begin our scripture today.
On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place here over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?"
They said to them, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he is recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We have hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman said. They didn't see him."
Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing that all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets.
When they came to Emmaus, they acted as if he was going on ahead, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I love the sound of the wind behind them as the story starts to finish. I'm like, I know what day they recorded that. Oh, it's such a beautiful story. I'm very grateful to Hannah and Simon for offering multiple voices, because it can feel a little big, but we have to hear the whole story, because this is a story of hope reentering life. This is a story of growing our understanding. This is a story of relationship developed on a journey. This is a story of seeing Christ. But of course, they don't know that at the beginning, not the disciples who are walking along the way. No, only the reader knows the entire story. But this guy, who we happen to know as Jesus, just walks up as they're on their journey and asks a pretty simple question. Hey, what's up? What you talking about? And the disciples' response is perfect. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened in these days? I love this response, because it's so real. Anyone who's lost a loved one knows the feeling of frustration when the world keeps going on around you, when everything in your life has just sort of stopped. And it's like, how do you not know? How do you not know? It's so real. And this situation then carries even more frustration for the disciples, because they just watched the entire crowd shout, "Crucify him." How could anybody not know? They are so close to something everyone seems to know about. Everyone's like, oh yeah, we know the Jesus thing. They're like, no, you don't. We knew Jesus. And then they bump into the one person who doesn't even seem to know. But this actually serves them well. But because this random person doesn't know the story, they get to tell the story. And that is an important part of any journey, of any stepping into the world. The disciples open the conversation by talking about what happened, right? Recounting how they feel and why they feel that way. They told what happened. We all need this. We need this for every aspect of our lives. When we go out into the world, we go further if we will take the time to consider and share the stories that have impacted us. Because in sharing the story, they don't weigh so much anymore. Honestly, it's why I see a counselor on a regular basis, right? Sometimes we dig into really deep issues. Though most of the time, I just tell him about my week, and I actually get to stop and think. He's like, so what happened this week? And I'm like, I should probably think about that. What did happen? And I begin to tell the story, and suddenly things aren't as heavy. And so here are the disciples recounting how they feel and why they feel that way with someone who's listening, someone who's acknowledging and validating what was in their lives. Something that would be good for all of us to have that kind of acknowledgement and validation as we share. And that's what we hear in this scripture. But the story doesn't stop there. It's not just a tell your story, things will get better. No, the mystery man then begins to ask some questions and offer a few opinions of his own. Now, as readers, we know Jesus is explaining the very concepts he shared with the disciples before. But the disciples don't know that. I'm surprised the disciples didn't try to shut him down. Sir, you said you didn't even know what happened. Jesus was our friend. We don't need you explaining him to us. The only thing I can think of is that somehow grace intervened, and the disciples listened to someone else's opinions and ideas. And that's what I think makes this a story of growing our understanding. Instead of shutting down different opinions, instead of only listening to the thoughts that already reinforced their current ideology, the disciples grew in their understanding because they were open to listening. You see, to go out into the world is to gain the opportunity to encounter new perspectives. Even ones we may not agree with, even ones that sound a little funny to us at times, and we allow them to stimulate our thinking. It's important to note, Jesus was telling them things they'd already heard him say before, but this time, they somehow are connecting with it in a new way. I can only imagine being Jesus. He's like, I told you this before, and now suddenly you're like, oh, I get it. Thanks for waiting. This time, they're connecting with it in this brand new way, and I wonder, could the fact that they didn't recognize him as Jesus actually make it possible for them to hear and understand this time? Because every other time Jesus tried to tell them things, they were filtering it all through their expectations of a Savior. The message was shaped by their preconceived notions of a Messiah. They had to remove the stereotypes and the judgments, and then, and only then, could they finally hear what was really being said. It was this openness to a new voice that led to the development of relationship. And perhaps this too is a part of the Easter invitation into the world, that we would venture into the world ready to develop those new relationships, to hear new voices. Now, as their journey nears its end, the man who walked with them looks like he's just about to wander off, and so an invitation was extended. Hey, why don't you stay with us for dinner? I love that invitation. And this is the moment the whole story has been building to. The answer to the question any of us reading it have had the whole time: when will they find out it's Jesus? And the moment comes in the most beautiful way possible. They recognize him the moment he breaks the bread. Just days before, he'd taken the bread and given thanks for it and broken it and given it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Remember me every time that you do this." And they did. They remembered him. And they recognized him. They saw Christ because of the generosity of God's love. And that's the same gift that we will share in today. As we walk the road of life, as we are on our journeys into this world, the journeys that shape us, we're invited to stop, take a moment, and share a meal. And in the breaking of the bread, we are invited to see the face of Christ in each of the people journeying with us. If I haven't said it recently, hear me clearly. I see Christ in you as we journey together. We're invited to remember. Our journey into the world as people is one of revealing and recognizing Christ in each other. A sacred moment to remind us that God's love is available to all. These times of gathering, of breaking bread, of sharing in grace, they're a divine interruption in life to help us recall each and every life is created in the image of the divine. The handing of bread and juice isn't merely transactional. It's a holy interaction that begs us to see the divine, to experience the presence of Christ in each and every person we meet. For every single person, whether we think we know them or whether we don't at all, whether the people we love to spend time with or the people we merely tolerate, whether they're people of similar mind or differing opinion, they are all journeying out into the world with us. And if we will be honest and share with one another, if we'll hear what they have to say too, if we will release our judgments and recognize that God invites all of us to the table, then we are on our way into the world that we might see the face of Christ in our midst, seeing it in and through one another. So I don't know if you're planning on heading further, but maybe we could share a meal before you go.